Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. And today, I have a special person who has devoted his life to children and sports. He is Fred Eng. Fred is the author of Unsinkable Spirit, an award-winning book published in 2015 that looks at his fascinating life. And in 1999, he authored Why Johnny Hates Sports, a first-of-its-kind look at the serious problems plaguing organized sports and, more importantly, what needs to be done to correct them. Fred is the founder of the National Alliance for Youth Sports, a nonprofit organization committed to providing safe and fun sports for America's youth since 1981. He is also the founder of the International Alliance for Youth Sports, the international arms of NAYS, N-A-Y-S, the acronym for the National Alliance for Youth Sports. And that began in 2003, that works to build the value of sports worldwide and provide children in underprivileged regions with opportunities to learn and play sports that have never been available to them before. As one of the world's leading experts in the youth sports field, his educational programs for coaches, administrators, parents, and officials involved in out-of-school organized sports, along with youth development programs that give children a healthy start in sports, are used in more than 3,000 communities in more than a dozen countries and on several continents. He grew up in Ocean City, Maryland, and is a graduate of the University of Maryland, and he is the father of 7 children and resides in West Palm Beach, Florida, with his wife, Michael. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about this seldom discussed topic, so welcome to the show, Fred.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Well, Fred, before we get into the conversation about your book, I want to let everyone listening know that at the end of our conversation, I am going to close with a song written and played by you. It's for a trailer from an upcoming movie called Born Again and Again, about a woman who dies and comes back to life. And I just thought it would be neat to share your musical talent as well as your passion for children in sports. So everybody stay tuned for that. Now, Fred, your memoir, Unsinkable Spirit, is your story that shares your beginnings that led you to create the organizations you've built today. Share a bit of your past so that we understand why you do what you do.
Well, it's a question I've been asked many times, so it should be very easy to answer. My background was in physical education, and I graduated from, as you mentioned, the University of Maryland Division, the Eastern Shore. And I love the idea of physical education because I've loved sports all my life. My background in sports itself was I was a wrestler in high school and for a couple years in college, and then I got into the area playing golf and played on the golf team in college, and so I really loved sports. But then when I graduated, I got into teaching physical education at the elementary level, and after that I was offered an opportunity to be a coach and athletic director at the high school level in Wilmington, Delaware, and then I went on from there to be a recreation professional where we had about 15,000 kids in the program, and all of a sudden I began to see in the program parents behaving in a way that was really abusive. Their coaches were preaching win at all costs, and we're talking about children, you know, kids as young as 6, 7, 8, 9 years old or who are growing and developing, and I really began to question it. But then I saw it in my own family with my kids playing and different games I would go to. And I began to see that happening and said, who is doing anything about this? And nobody seemed to be doing anything about it. And so I created the first ever training program for the volunteer parents that go out and coach, you know, their kids in sports. Didn't matter what sport, football, baseball, basketball, whatever. And there was a lot of rebuke of all of that in Wilmington, Delaware, that, you know, I'm out here as a volunteer parent. You can't ask me to be trained. I got enough to do. And so I said to them, look, you don't have to be trained, but if your team wins the division or wherever you're in, you don't qualify for the championship. Well, guess what happened? Everybody went to the program.
Wow.
And that really started the whole thing off, Pat. And then following that, I was invited to work with an organization, the division of the Sporting Good Manufacturers. And so that was in Chicago. And I invited all of the national organizations like Little League and Pop Warner Football and amateur softball and on to a meeting to see if I was correct in seeing what was going on in my own experience, but was it really happening in all these other sports? So all the leaders of those organizations left, and there was one thing that was in common, and that was the fact that parents lose perspective of what's going on. And I tried to get the organization that I was with, the division, it was called the Athletic Institute, I tried to get them to create an organization that would deal with all of it, and they thought it was crazy. They thought that you're never going to get coaches to be trained, you're never going to get parents and leagues and people to follow it. And so I quit and went on my own, and as I went on my own, it was pretty tough, because at that time my wife and I had just had our seventh child, and there I was out there in no man's land, because when I quit my job, I'm saying, uh-oh, what am I going to do now? And so, you know, just by a stroke of luck, things happened, and too long to tell on this show, but what happened is it was the creation of, in the beginning, the organization was the National Youth Sport Coaches Association, and we trained coaches in recreation departments across the country, and things began to catch on, and with a snowball effect. And after a number of years, we ended up having about 3,000 chapters across the country implementing our program for parents and coaches and administrators. And many of the communities across the country would make it a requirement that you couldn't lease those ball fields that we see out there. They're public fields that are owned by you and me, the taxpayers, and so the local recreation departments made it mandatory that they couldn't lease the facilities unless their coaches and parents were trained. So that led finally to the idea that we were really getting the program solid, that I thought, why don't we give it a try internationally? Because in developing countries, it's so sad to see the kids by nature want to play but have no opportunity. And so through a number of meetings and traveling and whatnot, we now have programs in countries all over the world that allow children the opportunity to go out and play sports.
Wow, what a beautiful story. And as you were saying that, I'm thinking, we wouldn't allow our children to be in the care or in the hands of anybody, really, who has no training. You wouldn't send them anywhere, even like a day camp, unless somebody had some type of training. And yet, when it comes to sports, we do that very same thing. So I find that fascinating that these local facilities and ballparks made this mandatory training before they would allow them to use those fields. That's huge.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, it's sad that we can't look across America and somebody to be able to say, just like you did, that, hey, this makes a lot of sense. Why would we allow people out there that don't have any training, don't have any understanding of what this is all about? And because what happens is that the typical parent, and there are some wonderful, great parents, I understand that, because I've had a lot of them coach my kids, but there's some very ugly people that are out there coaching because they have the wrong aspect of what this is about. They think this is professional sports. They go to the college games and the pro games and sit in a stand and yell and scream and curse at what's going on and thinking that they know more than the coaches. But those are the people that are out there coaching your kids. It used to be mine. Mm-hmm. And so why we allow this, nobody ever knows.
Yeah, exactly. Now, your memoir, Unsinkable Spirit, was written after your first book, So Why Does Johnny Hate Sports? Is that correct?
Yeah, the first book was basically about the things I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I describe, tell a lot of what I call horror stories that happen out there because of the lack of perspective. And people out that are watching their kids playing sports, I mean, anybody that's listening to this show would understand that, you know, you sit in the stands, that's your blood out there playing. And it's very difficult to be, you know, in control of yourself at times when things aren't going the way you want. And so people that are parents that we hear that sit in the stands and scream and yell. I tell the story in the book about the very first time that we videotaped a soccer program, and there was a mother, it just, as the game began, these were kids were like 8 and 9 years old, and the mother ran from one end of the field to the other, back and forth, just screaming and screaming at her son, and to hustle and whatnot. I think, Lord, how could anybody be this cruel to a kid who's just out there trying to have fun? And then at the break, at the halftime, somebody came up to me because they knew that we were videotaping and said, did you see what happened on the other side of the field? I said, no. And he said, well, the coach grabbed which apparently was his son and threw him up against the fence because he didn't think he was playing well enough. And so, you know, those are just hundreds and hundreds of stories that go on, that are going on now, that because parents lose the whole idea that these are children that are growing emotionally, socially, physically, mentally, and all of this should be a very good learning experience for them, because that's why I have believed in sports and its value throughout my career. Because what happens is that when we're playing, think of all the things that we learn just by the fact of playing, like abiding by rules. If you don't abide by rules, you get penalized. In life, if you don't abide by rules, you can end up in jail. In life, that if you don't really stick to what you're doing and persevere, then you give up and you lose and you end up the rest of your life saying, gee, I should have tried harder. So you could go on and on with sports and talk about all the values that they have, but we destroy that when the facts are clear that by the age of 13, almost 70% of the kids that ever started as young as 4 and 5 and whatnot, almost 70% are not out there playing anymore. Mm-hmm. And in surveys that were done, people asked, why is that? Well, the number one reason the kids said it ceased to be fun. Well, I guess it does cease to be fun, you know, that if you're 9 years old and somebody tells you you're a stupid idiot because you dropped a pass or missed a basket in basketball. So that's the whole problem of it in sports for kids in America. And that's why I wrote that first book.
Okay. Yes. As you're talking, I'm thinking exactly the same thing that you mentioned, that sports really is that perfect medium for so many life's lessons. And yet if these children are bullied, and basically it's abusive, I mean, they're being abused on many occasions, how are they going to take those lessons that they learned in sports and now apply them to the rest of life? There's far and wide reaching ramifications.
Well, absolutely. And you know, the thing is, as you mentioned with my other book with Unsinkable Spirit, I wanted to tell the story to people so that, because I've heard so many people that will say, how did you ever do this? You have a wife and 7 kids, mm-hmm. you quit your job. It had to be horrible and whatnot, and trying to get off the ground and whatnot. And yeah, I still have nightmares today, knowing that at times thinking, you know, how are we going to pay the rent? What happens if this doesn't work? And that can be very scary. And so many people get to that edge of wanting to do something with their life, and they back off because of fear. Mm-hmm. And I was 43 years old when I decided to do this, when I started the organization. And my wife and I had an office about the size of a closet in your house. Mm-hmm. And the only way that we're generating any income was that I put together a manual that would be sectioned on first aid and safety and coaching tips and et cetera for coaches. It's the only way that we're generating any income. Anyway, so I went to the bank because we were getting low in funds, and I had to borrow $5,000, and the president of the bank laughed at me. He said, "I think you have the cart before the horse." And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Well, we're not going to pay your salary here. You have no collateral, nothing that shows you." So I got the message real quick. I went back to the office. There was a check that had come from the U.S. Army because we were overdrawn, I forgot to tell you, $440. My wife tells me on the phone as I'm in the office there. And there was a check there for $732. Oh. I ran and put it in the bank, borrowed $3,000 from my mother, who didn't have that money to give. I went to New York for a meeting with the, because I had been with the sporting goods manufacturers. I had arranged a meeting of three top presidents of three top sport organizations, and I walked out of there with $36,000.
Oh.
2 weeks after almost the whole thing was over. That's a great story.
That's an awesome story. And I just think that's really inspiring. Well, people get turned down and then they walk away and give up.
So there are a lot of people out there that, you know, are in their 40s. It's a time of their life that they, you know, look back and say, am I doing what I really want to do? And so I tell the story in Unsinkable Spirit of how I overcame a lot of these fears and anguish and suffering, kind of in quotes there. But, you know, it's a thing to inspire people to say, look, if I can do it, a lot of people or anybody can do it. And it's what I call three different things. It's vision, it's passion, and it's commitment. And I talk about that in the book, that no matter what, there are so many people that have things that they totally believe in. And I say, you have to have a vision before you can take that step. You have to know exactly where you're going, what you want to do, and you have to see that. You have to really see that and feel it inside deeply. And then the next thing is you have to be passionate about it. I mean, you have to think that nothing is going to stand in your way to ever make you stop doing this. And the last thing is, then you have to commit. You have to commit to work hard and stay at it. And for 90% of the people, there'll be a success. And that's what you see so many people in our society that are successful because of those things. And that's what I try to do in Unsinkable Spirit.
Oh, I love that. That if no one takes anything else from what you had to say today, that's perfect. Vision, passion, and commitment. And you've done that, and you're a fine example of that. Why did you call it Unsinkable Spirit?
Well, that's a good question, because the first book that I did with the publisher, they came back and told me what the title would be. And Why Johnny Hates Sports. And I remember my wife saying, I don't like that title. It's so negative and whatnot. And so I said, with this book, I'm just going to go and let certain people that I know read it and come back and give me the different ideas of, excuse me, what it could be. And somebody came back with Unsinkable Spirit. And I said, well, that's a little bit egotistical sounding. And the person said, no, that's not what it's about. It's about telling people that you have to have this unsinkable spirit to really survive. And it's not really about you, it's about them and what they need, you know, to see from this book.
I thought it was a perfect title. When we talk about organized sports when it comes to youth programs, and so why does Johnny hate sports? We mentioned some of it. It's parents, it's coaches. So what do you see as the main factor that really contributes to the fact that Johnny might hate sports?
Well, again, as I say, the title is kind of misleading because not all kids hate sports.
No.
But to answer your question is, the ones that do hate sports, and there are many of them, because that number, 70%, verifies that they quit, is a few things. One, nobody ever asked the kids if they wanted to be competitive in sport. Mm-hmm. All kids by nature want to play. And so when Billy or Mary sign up to play sports, it's not them signing up when they're 6 years old, it's their parents signing them up. And I say to parents that, look, ever sit down and ask your kids what they want to do before you just sign them up to play mm-hmm. Little League, whatever? And most parents will say, no, not really. I say, well, think of it. What if you put a list together and you said, I'm going to give you, Billy and Mary, these things, art, drama, music, sports, and let them decide which one really excites them. And they look and say, well, yeah, but I want my kid playing baseball or football mm-hmm. or whatever. And so therein begins the problem of why Johnny hates sports. Because we did a study in Northern Kentucky University several years ago, tested kids on their skills. And would you believe this? That the skills of throwing, catching, hitting, and kicking, which are required in sports, 49% of the kids did not reach the minimum level to feel successful in any of those categories.
Interesting.
So it's like I've always described taking a kid that's in the first grade and putting War and Peace in front of them and saying, here, now start reading.
Exactly.
What would happen to the kid? Yeah. So that's what happens so often in sports, that they are not ready and prepared is one thing, but there's the huge difference between kids wanting to compete and kids wanting to play. And there are kids that are born competitors who love competition. They can take a lot of the yelling and screaming of some parents because they're competitive and winning is the most important thing in their mind. They're born that way. But there's an enormous number on the other side who just want to go out and get on sliding boards, seesaw, swings, right, run around and just play. Mm-hmm. And there's a vast difference between the two. And when you thrust the kids that just want to play into something that is very competitive, then you got big problems and you got kids saying, I hate sports.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, you mentioned the idea of winning, where coaches just want to make sure everyone wins. Here's a question. Should it be that the best team or the best person wins, or is everyone a winner because they showed up?
Well, that's a good debatable question out there. That it depends on the age, Pat. What happens is kids below the age of 10, sports is a social experience. It's not a sports experience. But there are some kids below the age of 10 that are competitive, as I say. But for the most, kids below the age of 10 just want to go out and play. So winning doesn't mean that much to them. It's and losing doesn't mean. What means something to them is that after the game, they can go get some pizza or ice cream or whatever, and that's why they're there, because they're going to get something to eat after the game. So winning is, and I get so many people that think that I am against the idea of competition and winning, and nothing could be further from the truth, because I'm a very, very competitive person. But winning at all costs is what it's bad. That's the bad thing about sports for kids, because now you have coaches. And what happens there is you put up standings, scoreboards, championships, all-star teams. All those things are based on one thing, and that is winning. And you have coaches. Can you imagine you go out and coach a team and you're out there an average of 80 hours a season and your team is 0-22? Well, so many other coaches fear that, and they do unbelievable things to avoid that, and it's called winning at all costs. Mm-hmm. So they'll cheat and do whatever they have to do to win. And that's what's wrong about winning.
Yep.
Winning at all costs is wrong. Winning is wonderful.
Wow. What about physical education in schools these days? How are schools helping or hurting?
Well, being a physical educator, it's one of the real thorns in the side that I've had for that whole area, because typically what happens with so many people that get into physical education, they think it's an extension of their playing sports days in college, and they're not into it for the right reasons. So they get very frustrated very early because the system can only allow them to have an hour or a half hour a week, and therefore they can't do anything with the kids other than take a ball and go out and play kickball for a half hour, and that's the end of it. And they sit over in a corner and read a magazine. They're not motivated to do anything. Sure, there are some people that in school systems across the country that really get it with physical education, but by and large, it's almost a joke. And to see people talking about today that we need physical education in schools, it becomes a joke in itself also, because it has never been anywhere other than the bottom of totem pole. Yep. And when it's at the bottom of the totem pole, the administration, the school, anytime that there's anything could drop because of academic needs, physical education is at the bottom. And it ends up becoming nothing more than glorified recess for kids.
Yes. Yep. No, I agree. I look back on just on the phys ed days growing up in elementary school and junior high, and sometimes it was a harrowing experience. So I get it. Is there a sport that a child can participate in that just by the nature of the sport would avoid most of this kind of negativity?
No.
Okay.
not as long as you put up a scoreboard, mm-hmm. and then you have the standings. Yep. And who wins, you know, at the top and the win-loss column. There's not a sport that I know of that doesn't happen. Yep. You know, you could say bowling. Well, hey, there's a score in bowling.
Yeah.
You're playing badminton or table tennis or whatever. It's always a win and loss, and that's what sports are about. There's always somebody on one end of the picture and the other. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so attractive and wonderful about sports. But it's not only sports. It's playing cards, playing board games.
Yeah.
Somebody's winning and losing. Kids today get on the internet, and you know they're in all kinds of gaming things that they're doing, and it's all about winning something. So, is there anything that they can just play and play for fun? Yeah, seesaw, swings, mm-hmm. and whatever they want to play and by themselves and just invent their own activities.
Yeah. Well, now, share, if you would, a little bit more about the National Alliance for Youth Sports. And I also want to mention that you have chapters, so that if folks are listening and they want to build something like this in their community, is that possible?
Oh, of course. You know, any parent that's listening, I say to a group, Pat, I've talked to hundreds of audiences over the years, and I'll say, you know what? Out of this group of 500 people, there'll be two people that will walk out of here and do something. Mm-hmm. The rest of you won't. And typically that's what's happened over the time, but that doesn't mean that somebody is listening that couldn't say, yeah, I want to do something in my community. Well, all they have to do is let the recreation department in their community know that there's an organization, the National Alliance for Youth Sports, that offers every topic that can cover kids playing sports in America, from the development of skills to the training of parents to the training of the administrators that run these leagues, the total thing. And all they have to do is contact our organization. We're a nonprofit organization, and it wouldn't be in existence today if recreation departments weren't gaining value across the country. I mean, I'll give you a good example. The U.S. military, the Army in particular, makes it mandatory on every Army base worldwide, all of our programs for coaches, parents, administrators, and youth development. So if it's good enough for all these communities in the U.S. military, then it certainly ought to be good for a listener's audience. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say that I think that it's something that I would hope some of the people, the listeners. But there's an old expression that I've lived with that is so true. And that is that 90% of the people are looking for 10% of the people to lead them. Mm-hmm. So I say, what choice, what area do you want to be? You can choose to be one of the 90%, or you could be the 10% person. But if you're going to get 10%, then you better have what I mentioned before, and that's that vision, the passion, and commitment to do something. And I just suggest people that, with my book, with Unsinkable Spirit, that I think when you read that, that you'll come off of that saying, hey, if this person can do that, then I can do what I want to do and what I envision that would make my life meaningful.
And where can folks go to learn more about the National Alliance for Youth Sports?
The very simple today, right? It's, the acronym is NAYS, and it's NAYS.org. And there's all that information that you can look on there, and there's no cost for the program, so it's not a matter of I'm selling something. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of selling the value of sports for kids.
Excellent. Thank you for that. NAYS.org. Fred, I know there's so much more we can talk about, but I want to give you the opportunity to bring up anything that we missed that you would like to talk about today.
Well, as I mentioned, Pat, I think, you know, self-serving as it sounds, I certainly would like people to consider getting the book and Unsinkable Spirit. And it can be, you can just look on Amazon.com. That's the easiest way to get it. Anything else that I could talk about, I could talk for probably another hour and a half.
I know.
And I could tell stories that, people would say, you got to be kidding me, that that's not really what happened in kids in sports. And I get asked so many times of, why do I still have all this fire in me to keep doing this? And it's because I see the value that we're losing.
Well, children are our future, and we need to take care of them. So I understand why you still have this fire, as all of us should. And so I'm going to encourage everyone listening to visit your website, NAYS.org, to get a copy of your book, Unsinkable Spirit, and to be inspired by you and for what you've done in your life, and to become that 10%, not the 90%, the 10%, and to realize what their vision is, their passion, and their commitment. And Fred, you are a fine example of all of that. Thank you for taking the time to share just a little bit about what you're doing today. Hopefully folks will head over to NAYSNAYS.org and learn more and get a copy of your book. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Well, and thanks a lot for having me, Pat.